September 18th, 2000. Okay, so tonight's, as I mentioned in the email, topic, I can read the questions up on top, is why is Emet considered a Midat Harachamim? Seems like Emet is more associated with Midas Adin, you know, with truth and justice and the American way. And then I wanted to also throw in, what is the meaning of Rosh Hashanah? We have three themes in the Musaf Shemoneh Esrei. So what the second one is Malchus Zichronos Shofros, so Zichronos, what is the meaning of Zichronos? Like remembering, you know, if God doesn't forget. So what do we mean by that? And we also are going to be reading Sefer Yonah on Maftir Mincha afternoon of Yom Kippur, and wanted to also discuss why did Yonah running away, what was his reasoning, and try to tie it all together. So I think the framework was we're going to attack the beginning of the shiur on Yonah, and we're going to attack that question, look at the classical answers that I've heard when I was in elementary school. Then we're going to turn the page and we're going to go to an answer of the Das Mikra, how he understands the tension Yonah was going through, and then we're going to move on to the idea of Emet as explained by Rav Bick, a Ram in the Gush, in his Sefer of describing and trying to understand the Shloshos Shrei Midos Harachamim, and then we'll end off on the last page with that last question of Zichronos. Okay, so let's get into it. So when I was in elementary school and I said, why did Yonah run away? So I got the answer that Yonah was like trying to protect B'nai Yisrael, that idea that he's going to go to Nineveh, they're going to do tshuva. Hashem sent a lot of Nevi'im to Am Yisrael, they didn't do tshuva, they look bad, Hashem's going to start punishing B'nai Yisrael. So he's really defending Am Yisrael. And I think one of the sources for that, we'll see in the first two sources, go in that direction. The first is the Talmud Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin. Says, Amar Yonah Yodeani Shagoyim Krovim Tshuvahim. They're close to tshuva. What exactly that means is maybe that means that their tshuva is not is a little bit more superficial. Maybe it's, based on fear of punishment. Somehow that they would do tshuva. V'harini holech misnavei alehem. And then afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll pay back. So it would be bad for the Jews, and therefore he was running away. The Mechilta in source 2. Also, highlighting that Yonah was a fierce defender of Klal Yisrael. So he was the Mechilta says compares three people and says Yirmiyahu actually implemented Kavod Ha'av v'Kavod Ha'ben. So he had a proper maybe balance between Kavod Shamayim, protecting Hashem's honor, and protecting Klal Yisrael's honor. Eliyahu might have went too far just to protect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, and Yonah on the second line, Tava Kavod HaBen V'lo Kavod HaAv. He might have went too much in the other way. But however, by him protecting Klal Yisrael, it continues and says, Rav Nosson Omar, Lo Halach Yonah Ela La'Abed Asmo B'Yam. Yonah left because he wanted to just, die in the sea, and it goes on in that source to say, compare it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu would give up his life, where I underlined that he would give up his life for Klal Yisrael, or Hargeini Naharog, or kill me in order to save Klal Yisrael. So Yonah was of that same mindset that he was willing to die, to save Klal Yisrael. And I think the Mechilta goes on, I didn't write it down, David had that same mindset in the last line, they're saying, so too Yonah was such a fierce defender of Klal Yisrael that he was willing to give up his life to prevent harm from coming to Klal Yisrael. source 4 is going to quote source 3. It turns out that we have Yonah here, but Yonah is also mentioned in Tanakh. Is mentioned in Malachim Bet Perak Yudalid. And Perak Yudalid quotes this event, and quotes a second event, which I'm not sure what is the Makor, and then quotes Yonah. So it says that there was like three times, maybe three Nevuahs of Yonah. But let's look at the first, and because in source 4 he's going to offer this a second reason of not only trying to protect Klal Yisrael, but he offers a second reason in source 4. So, but let's go through that. So in source 3 in Malachim Bet Perak Yedaled, so it talks about Bishan Chamesh Shreishanal Amts Yahu Ben Yoash Melech Yehuda Malach Yeravam Ben Yoash Melech Yisrael B'Shomrom Amarim B'Achashana. So there was a king, Yeravam Ben Yoash, and what kind of king was he? Bayas Hara Ben Hashem. He wasn't a really good king. He was doing bad in the eyes of Hashem, and he continued in the ways of Yeravam Ben Nevat, and he was a bad king. However, what did Yeravam Ben Yoash do? Who Heshiv as Gavul Yisrael, he somehow resettled, fortified the settled the Gavul and the borders of Eretz Yisrael, like Kidvar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, like Hashem gave a nevuah to who? Ashadibir Biyad Avdo Yonah Ben Amitai Navi, like Yonah predicted, like Yonah was Mizname, that you, Yeravam, are going to settle, and fortify these boundaries. Hashem, he got, and where did Yonah come from? He got Chefer. Kira Hashem, so it continues and says, why did Hashem allow Yeravam to be successful? He wasn't a very good king. He wasn't doing mitzvos. So why was he successful? Kira Hashem es ani Yisrael mora ma'od. He saw that Klal Yisrael was suffering, very greatly. Veset sasur veset sazuv, surrounded by enemies, and almost like no one would survive. Ein ozel Yisrael. No one was helping Klal Yisrael. V'lo diber Hashem l'mchot et shem Yisrael mitachas ha'shamayim. Hashem didn't want Klal Yisrael to be utterly destroyed. V'shem biyad Yeravam ben Yoash. So Yoram Ben Yoash was a savior for Klal Yisrael, even though he wasn't a very good king. So that was the first Nevuah. So the Perek de Rabbi Eliezer and Perek in the fourth source quotes and says this was the first Nevuah, Pam Rishona, and it came true. And it came true. He was misnabe that Yeravam Ben Yoash is going to quiet the border areas, and that's what happened. Then he quotes a Pam Shniyah. Maybe someone who knows Tanakh a little better than me can see if this is in Tanakh, or is it? I'm not sure what Chazal were jumping off of. But it says Pam Shniyah Shochel Yushalayim LaHakriva, that he was sent to be misnabe that Yerushalayim was going to be destroyed. Kevan Shasu Tshuva, but since they did Tshuva, the Jews did Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asa Karov Chasadav V'Nicham Al Hara V'Lo Charva. And it wasn't, they did Tshuva, so it wasn't destroyed. V'Hai Yisrael Koren also Navi Sheker. And then Klal Yisrael started calling Yonah a Navi Sheker. So what happened the third time in our Sefer Yonah with Nineveh? So Yonah thought to himself, Dan Yonah Din Beno Levein Atzma Amma Ani Odei. So he goes to the first answer that we had in source 1. I know that they're going to do tshuva, the Gentiles of Nineveh. Achshav osin tshuva, they're going to do tshuva. And then it's going to look bad for the Jews. So that was the first answer. But then he gives a second answer, which I found a little strange. And it's not enough that the Jews are going to call me a Navi Sheker, a false prophet. Now, even the non-Jews are going to call me a Navi Sheker. So what am I going to do? I'm going to run away. It seems a little strange. I mean, we know the Rambam that says, you know, that talks about, you know, didn't have a Navi Sheker, that if he says something's good is going to happen and it doesn't happen, you might be considered a Navi Sheker. But if he says something's bad is going to happen and that's his Nevuah and it doesn't happen, that doesn't make him a Navi Sheker, because you can always say the people did did Tshuva. Okay, right. So I was thinking maybe we'll see that there's a machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, how sincere was the repentance of Nineveh. So maybe people thought if it's a sincere repentance, maybe they can understand they wouldn't call you a Navi Sheker. But maybe they thought that Nineveh was doing just an insincere repentance, and maybe they should still be destroyed, and that's going to save them. You know that may, and so maybe they didn't. You know, so therefore they thought, you know, they're being saved without doing repentance, and maybe that's why it makes him a Navi Sheker. Rashi actually goes within source 5 along those lines, picks up on that reason of the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, and says at the end of the beginning of Perek Dalet, why was Yonah very angry and very right? He says, "Amar Achshav Yomar Akum Shani Navi Sheker," because they're going to say that I'm a Navi Sheker. So, but the Eben Ezra goes on to with the first line of reasoning that we saw in source 1, and says before Ra'otoki Yisrael lo asu tshuva, he saw that Klal Yisrael didn't tshuva, yifakech yitova ra'alehen, and he thought that some, you know, badness is going to happen to Klal Yisrael. Also, I'll try to understand that Nineveh is probably the capital of Assyria, and Assyria soon is going to, you know, come and destroy and exile Malchut Yisrael. Yonah is even from Malchut Yisrael. So, you know, here he's helping the people who will eventually exile the Jews. Again, not good for the Jews, and maybe that's why the Eben Ezra says he ran away. So those were the classic understandings that I heard, maybe when I was younger. Let's look at source 7, turn the page, and look at the Das Mikra. The first paragraph of the Das Mikra, Kias doesn't like those two answers. So he says he doesn't think lo mitamim lo mim on the second line, nationalistic reasons, because he says on the third line, b'sefer ein remes koshu latam main zed. There's really no hint in the text that's talking about that he, any of these reasons that Ashur might be saved and Ashur in the future is going to come and may exile the Klal Yisrael, so it's bad for the Jews, therefore I'm going to run away. There's nothing like that in the text. He doesn't. And the second reason of thinking that he's Bida'ut, that he's, what?
It's not shocking.
That's shocking. Right. But he wants to see it. He's going to offer another reason and try to look at it in the text. And he said, and the other thing about which we mentioned about considering Navi Sheker and a liar, he says, okay, maybe if they didn't do tshuva, but the pasuk says that Hashem saw the masehem, that they did tshuva. So why would anybody call him a Navi Sheker? It's like almost, even though he says 40 days and then he's going to be destroyed, it's almost self-understood, or he might have even said it, unless you did tshuva. Now, that was the point. So, you know, if he says they did tshuva and they're not destroyed, who's calling him he found difficulty with that fear of being called a Navi Sheker. So what does he suggest? He says, Yonah, second paragraph, Boreach, Mipnei Shetshuvatam Asui Lohoil, because the tshuva actually will work and will be efficacious. And that bothered Yonah very much, because Yonah was struggling with our question of, with the following question, How does tshuva work? You know, you do something bad, something really, really bad, and it happened in the real world, and then you're sorry about it, but that doesn't change, but that doesn't change the past. That doesn't change the fact that something really bad happened.
For Jews either.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do the tshuva.
The tshuva for Jews.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. So he doesn't understand even how. Correct. Yonah doesn't understand how tshuva would work even for Jews.
That's
He doesn't. What?
That's right. If you stole from me, remember, there's no tshuva until I give it back to you. I repair the past.
Okay.
I repair the
past. But sometimes you can't. If I killed someone and then I feel bad about it, I can't. He's going to give the example.
Are.
I was, hey, let's read this. V'kan anu boim l'sheila haikarit shel ha-sefer. What's the crux of Sefer Yonah? Tziduk HaTshuva, the justification of Tshuva. Maybe Eov was a question of suffering, so that was, you know, Tzadik V'ralo. Yonah might be Rasha V'tovlo, or just how does Tshuva work, and how does, you know, versus, you know, what happened to the Midah of Emet. There has to be justice in the world. Actions have to have consequences, and then all of a sudden if you take away the consequences, then, you know, that's not real, that's not just, that's not, and it bothered, not didn't only bother Yonah, it bothered Chachma, and it bothered Nevuah, in terms of how does Tshuva work. It's not so logical. So Mr. Bear, Shaladato Shel Yonah, ain't Tzedek B'Slichat HaChataim. It's not just. L'Rishorim Gamim Asu Tshuva Shlema V'Amitit. He actually goes to extreme. He says, even if they did a very sincere Tshuva, I'm not even sure how, you know, how that's efficacious. Heim Ratzchu Ashku Almanot V'Yisumim V'Osin Tshuva V'Yislach Lahem V'Gal Yidei Kachi Kuma HaNitzachim V'Yichyu. Are they going to start living it? The suffering, the Savlam Shel HaAlmanot V'Yisumim Yalein. They spent many, many nights hungry and had gangrene and they were cold and you did things bad. What happened to all that? You know, it just goes away because you're sorry and you say you're not going to do it again. So that was what Yonah was dealing with it. So you look at textually, you look at the source 8. This is I brought down all of Perek Dalet, the end of Sefer Yonah. The last pasuk in Perek Gimel says, "Vayar Elohim et masayhem ki shavu midakam ha'ra'a." Hashem saw that Nineveh changed their ways. Vayinachal mekim al ha'ra'a she'diber lasos lahem v'lo asa. And so he wasn't going to punish them. So then, how does Perek Dalet begin? It's almost the same ra'a. There was going to be a ra'ah that, you know, that was going to happen to Nineveh. Now, Vayira Yonah ra'ah gdola. Now Yonah is feeling this ra'ah. Vayichar lo, and it makes him, you know, very upset. And because he theologically doesn't understand what happened to the ra'ah. There was ra'ah there. There was evil there. And now there's not going to be a punishment. And he's very bothered by that. And he finally speaks up. We never know why he ran away. Now it's telling us why he ran away. I said this at the very beginning of Sefer Yonah. Why I wanted to run away. Now listen to these words. It's a Shlosha Shem Midos. What's the next thing?
Missing Emet.
Missing Emet. Okay? Because Hashem says, what does Emet mean? If you're a truth, truth says there has to be justice. Actions have to be consequences. They did bad, they have to be punished. How can you be called a God of Emet if you're going to say, no, we're not going to punish them? And he says, I don't want to live in a world like that. I'd rather die. I can't live in a world. It's not a real world if actions don't have consequences and it's not just. What happened to your Midah Emet? Look at source 9, and we can just follow through. What's Yonah's name? People might have heard it. Vahidvar Hashem El Yonah Ben Amitai Leimor. He's the son of Emet. Emet is his banner. That is what Yonah values very strongly.
Shoshana?
Yeah.
It's Muvan Meilav all the way across that whenever anybody does a chait, they have the opportunity of doing tshuva.
Okay.
So why all of a sudden now this is big chiddush of this inyan here?
Uh-huh. Okay, so we'll see questions. We'll see other people.
Part of Emet is being able to do tshuva. So why is it like such a?
Because again, the questions that we said, things happen, and it doesn't. How does it change? How does it work? Let's say, and we're going to offer a mechanism. We're going to maybe we're going to make a distinction maybe between Emet and Shlosh Shrei Midos, which is Rav Emet. Maybe Rav Bik is going to come up with this new Rav Chesed VeEmet. So there's a new concept, and we're going to see the source that we've seen before that Hashem took Emet, which was up in Shemayim. came and said that maybe man shouldn't be created, and he threw Emmet down to the world, and now Emmet is growing from the ground. We've seen the source when it came to Psak, like there's a new way of Psak, like Emmet and Psak might be how the Chachamim and the majority Paskin, it's a new truth, like because Eluv Eluv Devar Emmet, is there Emmet and Shammai? No, there's a new definition of Emmet, but Rabik takes that Emmet, this new type of Emmet, and goes slightly and says how it can work as a Midas HaRachamim.
It's very shot, it's very black and white.
Okay.
Which is a problem because their tshuva may have saved everyone from being eradicated and wiped off the face of the earth. That doesn't mean there weren't consequences.
Okay. Okay.
Set it as a separate aside. We don't know what happened to an infant. They may have been punished in other ways. Whereas they may not have been eradicated.
Okay.
We know that the ultimate punishment was for them, if they didn't do this tshuva,
they were.
Was far greater than what may have actually happened.
Right. So, but maybe they thought that the original punishment, which maybe would have been a just punishment, somehow gets lessened. And how does it even get lessened? Through tshuva. We're going to talk about what's the mechanism of how, and maybe the Midah Emet might help us come up with an idea of how it can be lessened. Yeah.
Since Emet is defined that everything else is by God, how can a person, not me or anybody else, say, no, this is Emmet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is it begs the other question. How can that person have a lot looker with
the God?
Yeah,
right.
That's it.
Right. But he just didn't want to live in this world. I mean, the way he looked at it, I mean, he didn't see it as, again, as justice. And I have trouble labeling people. I have other, one of those sources where after the Anshei Knesset HaGdola had to, because of Emmet, right? Wasn't and they started taking away certain praises of Hashem. It's not Emmet for me to praise Hashem in a certain way after.
They returned it back.
Right. So after, there were certain phases in Jewish history where they felt it wasn't Emmet to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this attribute, when I see in reality, it's conflicting. So sort of like has a ring to maybe what Yonah was struggling with. So interesting, I saw another source, and this might be a little textual, and we can discuss a little psychological makeup of Yonah, of why would he have Emmet as his banner, but maybe people knew this, I don't think I remembered this, was who was Yonah? Right, so the sources are going to say that Yonah was the son of this woman from Tzarfasa that supported Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi came to Ahav and said that there's not going to be any more rain, and for like a year he was sustained in the cave, with the ravens. But after that year, he came to Tzarfasa, and this woman who was really penniless took in like Eliyahu, and there was a miracle happening where the oil continued to flow and the flour continued to flow, and her and her child and Eliyahu were sustaining off that miracle, and then the child died. And then the woman turns to Elio, look, you came here, we're like living this life of a nace. Hashem like must have like then looked at me more carefully. There was a pokade and there was a little evaluation of my merits, found me lacking, my son died, and I'm turning to you, Elio, maybe you're partially at fault here. Elio takes the kid, brings him up to the attic, and does tchiyas sameisim. That boy, they say, that boy, source 10 was just a story. Look at the source Pirkei Derevi Lezer, Rav Shimon Omer Mikoch Tzedakah, because of the power of Tzedakah, Hamesim Atidim Lichios, the dead will be resurrected. How do we know that? And he quotes that story from Eliyahu Atishbi, that he was supported by this woman from Safat, and then the child died, And Elio did Tchias HaMesim on that child, maybe from the Korach of the Tzedakah, B'schus the Tzedakah, the woman was performing. Imo Shal Yona Paisa, last line on that page. So, but
level, is there any way of trimming on the air conditioning unit?
Yes.
I got it.
Thank you. So what, I guess a type of person, and this, maybe a type of person who was resurrected, might view the world through a certain lens of... Right, Amet. And also textually, I'm sorry, I skipped it. Look in source 10. After Eliyahu resurrects her son, look at the last pasuk in source 10. Vatoma Yishael Eliyahu, Ataze Yadati, now I know, Ki Isha Lukim Ata, Udvar Hashem Beficha, Emet. So somehow he really had that ingrained, from his mother saying it, from maybe some actions that happened, and just he is giving voice, maybe as a Navi, to source 12. Where source 12 asked our same question. I said he was maybe right. That's what I thought before I said. Yes, right.
He's Lamala.
Right. Right. That's why I definitely agree with you. So I said maybe that's why we'll leave it up to the psychologists to psychoanalyze that previous event in his life and how that molds him in his future patterns of thought. Source 12. So maybe Yonah is giving voice actually to this Yerushalmi in Makos. It says Shol l'chokma. Instead of they asked wisdom. Chote ma'o ancho. If a person sins, what's his punishment? Amru lahem. So he answered chataim terdof ra'ah. The evil will chase after your chataim, after your sins, right? And they asked nevua chada ma'o ancho. What would be his punishment? And nevua says hanefesh achotat hi tamot. Actions have consequences. If you sin, you're gonna die. If we all have dependent existences on Hashem. If I go against every second, every molecule in my body is in existence because Hashem wills it to be in existence. If I then act in a way that's against Hashem's will, why should I exist? I should be tamut. That's what Nevuah says. And then maybe that's what the Yonah is claiming. But what do they say? They ask Kutchu Brichu Chote Ma'o Oncho Amel Lahem Yasa Tshuva Yichavidchavelo. They should do tshuva and I will bring kapara. It's so not rational. Maybe giving thought. Maybe the Bavli also in Psachim is giving thought voice to this idea that tshuva is not so rational, and it says Shiva Dvarim Nivru Kodem Shenivra Olam. And what is one? Tshuva. What's the second one? So tshuva wasn't even created. It had to be created. Kodem Shenivra Olam. It's not. It's not of this world. It's an idea, a concept. Me'al Hateva. So source 14 and 15 was just showing you a machlokus between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. Shmuel thought that the repentance of Nineveh was very, very sincere. And they even went lamala milifnei mishur sadin. And we know the halach is that if you steal a beam, amar, and you put it into your house, so takana shavim, they wanted to allow people would find it very hard to return that stolen property if they knew that they had to take down their whole house. So they said normally if you have the object still in existence, you have to return the object. You can't just pay for it. But if it's such an object that was built into your house and you wouldn't be, they don't want you to, but they still want you to do tshuva, so they allowed you to pay money. But the people in Nineveh even would break down their houses to return something like that they stole. That's what Shmuel says, how sincere their tshuva was. Rav Yochanan in source 15 focuses on a pasuk. It says, "Vayeshuv ish midarko hara min haChamas asher bekapehem." That was in their hands. Okay, Hamas stolen things that were in their hands, they returned. But if it was hidden away in the drawers, and that they didn't do such a sincere. And also, it seems very quick. It seems very he said maybe they didn't want to be punished. It was much more superficial. a superficial tshuva. So surely superficial, you would have a hard idea to understanding of how it would be efficacious. Maybe people said even that type of tshuva, at least it's a certain turning to Hashem, a certain change. Maybe that, you know, that can change change the din. And but even Shmuel, at least according to Das Mikra, Yonah was having a hard time even from real tshuva, even from real tshuva.
You could understand.
Right. Okay. Right. But it seems, you know. Let's try to understand it. Okay. So now we're going to that to an idea that I saw, and I recommend this book. I really enjoyed it. Sefer. From Rav Bick. And Rav Bick says, what is the Mida Emet? Let's go back. Why is that a Mida Sarachman? What exactly do we mean? So he quotes a pasuk in Shmos. And it says, Va'era al Avram al Yisrof. This is the beginning of the Guru, sending Moshe to Mitzrayim, his mission. Va'era al Avram, and Hashem tells Moshe, I appeared to the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, in what attribute, what name? Bekel Shaddai, Shakai. Ushmi Hashem, but the name of Yudke Vavke, that lo nadati lahem. That wasn't known to the Avos. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Lo nikarti lahem b'midat amitut shali. The Avos did not know the mida of emet of mine. Why? Sharei hiftachtim v'lo kiyamti. I promised them Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't see me fulfill that promise. And what is Emet? Emet, according to Rav Bick, who's quoting Rav Huttner, is God above time. God who, where the future and the present and the past are all in the present. God above time is the attribute of Midah HaEmet. And now we're going to see that promise coming fulfilled now. So now you're going to see that. Because look at the, because really, it says in Source 18, and I have a lot of, look at verse 18. So it says, in God's essence, I'm quoting from the chapter 6, it says, in God's essence, of course, there is no gap at all between His will or promise and their actual fulfillment. If Hashem wills something, it should be actualized immediately. According to Rav Huttner, the attribute of Emet is the equation of future and present. Now, this is how Emet can help. He's going to answer our question. One way, he's going to answer it a second way, maybe also. But how does Emet help? Emet helps because you are doing tshuva, and you are committing yourself to certain good deeds in the future. Let's say, yeah, and you do that, and you do those good deeds in the future. So now, Hashem, who's above time, those good deeds in the future, right? But Hashem, the future is like the present. There's no difference. So Hashem can take those good deeds in the future and treat them and weigh them currently, right now in the present, and that Midah of Emet, which is taking the future and bringing it into the present, can help you as a Midah Emet and can help you in the din. He's going to go even further.
Yes,
we're going to repair the past. So he's going to talk about, what he's going to talk about is that the past, right, if the past is like a catalyst, right, for these future, for me turning at towards Hashem, so then the process and the progression and my potential and all that movement towards Hashem is a value of, in and of itself, that's also a good. So then it turns, and that can only happen in the milieu of imperfection, of, you know, so in a way, we don't want a person to do chatoyim, and it's not what we want. But in a way, the substrate, the canvas of the chait is going to allow a person movement towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that movement has value, and therefore it is good. So in a way, it turned the past chait into something good. So that's I'm going to read it, but because you should hear his words, and I thought it was a beautiful, and the more I think about it, I really think this idea of the future, at being, you know, Hashem, the future is just like now. So when I turn to Hashem and I commit myself and I want to do better, and so Hashem looks at me not as I am, but looks at the potential that I have, and He can take those future things and now, and it can help me now in the din. And God, okay. So according to Rav Huttner, the attribute of Emet is the equation of future and present. The future grants retroactively to the present the value of that which grows out of it. My good deeds in the future can help me now. Future good redeems the present evil, for in the eyes of a merciful God who is Rav Emet, not Emet, but he calls this Rav Emet, the future good is already present. He quotes the Medrash Rabbah, which I saw in 19, which I said before, that there was an Emet when Hashem wanted to create man. So Emet said, don't create man. He's because if a thing is not 100% truthful, it's 100% sheker. So Emet said, don't create man, because he's not going to be Emet. So, but what did Hashem do? So Hashem, Natol Emet Yishlicha Arza, he threw it to the ground, because it says in the pasuk, Vatishlach Emes Arza, and then he said, Amul Fala Vibor Shalom, but this is your signet ring. How can you just discard Emet? I'm not discarding Emet. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's only Shetal Emet Min HaShemayim. There's going to be a new type of Emet. He's going to call this Emet Rav Emet, Rav Chesed VeEmet. So it's right. And this type of Emet is going to value not just the absolute good, but even the progression and the process towards good is going to have a value. Before the world's creation, Rav Bick says, there was only an absolute value, God, and nothing can be added to an absolute value. Thus, there was thus no concept of development, no process of adding something of value, of creating something better in a world, turn the page, last page, that is not absolute goodness. Okay. God, therefore, created, you might have heard some of these ideas before, created an imperfect, faulty, and deficient world in which human beings can use their free will to create goodness where none existed before. I put some three dots, but it's all from that chapter. God created the world in order to achieve the value of progress towards perfection, in addition to the value of which is perfect and absolute. So there is an absolute and perfect Emet. That might be up in Shemayim, and that exists. But if it was only that type of Emet, it wouldn't leave room for anything else. But now, since we have this new type idea, there is this room. There is value now in the fact that the human being in a state of imperfection progressively draws closer to the absolute truth. That I just gave value to that movement coming closer to Hashem. This value has no place in the world of angels. The realm of objective truth exists there at the highest level, but it's static and frozen. So now he makes this distinction. The first couple of things are going to be Emet and then Rav Emet. Emet, which is this absolute truth, is an absolute. It is zealous. It is uncompromising attribute. Emet is such a harsh attribute of justice, and this is how we began our question, right? That it not only sentences the sinner to annihilation, it would also prevent the possibility of man's creation in the first place. It doesn't want man to be created.
And that's the Kikayon.
I want to hear what you say about the Kikayon, because I had some thoughts, but I want to hear it. Rav Emet, however, is the attribute of increase. It's a different type of Emet, of increasing truth, truth that grows, rises, emerges. Rav Emet justifies the existence of the wicked as it finds value even in the state of evil. Why? As the ground from which good can develop in the future. If a certain present condition, I'm sorry I'm reading so much, and maybe it would have been better the Hebrew and then translating, but if a certain present condition leads to a better future, then there is value even in the corrupted present as it forms the basis for growth. From the perspective of absolute value, of course, we would certainly prefer that the present condition does not exist at all. We don't want a person to sin. In our worldview, of course, there is good and there is evil, and choosing evil is evil. But from the viewpoint of the value of progression and process, there is value in beginning from a state of imperfection in order to reach the point of repentance in the future. What do you... You agree, disagree, think it's a nice idea? I mean, as from a psychological... Is actually, that things that you say to people?
The Baruch Hashem Rebbe used to say all the time.
Okay.
It's called the Tshuva.
When did you know? Yeah, but you could say that it's But Rav Chesed Emet, right? Okay, but that's how he. Or you're just going back to the. He had to do that to just. He might not have been so serious in that. He might just in his to try to. If he kept on saying Emmet and Emmet, Emmet 1 and Emmet 2. So he called one Emmet and one Rav Emmet. Okay, so now if you look on the right, when we say Midas HaRachamim, so people have pointed out that Rachamim comes from the word Rechem. Rechem is a womb. What does a womb do? It nurtures future potential. That's what so Hashem is, when we say Midas HaRachamim, saying not so much look at me now, Hashem, but as I am, but look at my potential. And that's what can help me now. In din, the same thing with Adam, a name of and the direction. Right. And Adam comes from Adama. Again, soil is what nurtures, you know, tree sprouting up, you know, to heaven. And so man has this in his name, this, you know, this potential. As opposed, these last two are from the Maharal. As opposed to a behema comes from ba ma. What is in it is, or ba is already there. An animal contains all that's in it. It has all its qualities. It's that, and a man is never finished till the last day of his life, because a man can always grow and a man can always change, and that change and growth towards Emet, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the value and can help a person in din. So that's why we said in Zichronos, what does it mean God remembering if God can't forget? So we say again, it's a Yom HaDin. It says, Poked means there's going to be an accounting. There's going to be a judgment day. A person, again, no one can stand in din. No one can justify every moment of his existence that is always L'Shem Shamayim and is not slipping and not living, you know, in any way in every second of his life. And so, but we're pointing out in Zichronos that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look back, you look all the way back to the past. However, I underline, so fama beat atzof kol adorot. But you also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look to the future, and the future and the past is all present for you now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, again, take my future actions and this desire, which I have now to do better, and take that process and that progress and that potential and help me in din currently. When we try to prove this point in the Psukim, because it says, Vayishkor Elokim es Noach. So one of our proof texts is from Noach. Noach built the table for 120 years, didn't really save anyone around him. So does Noach really deserve in judgment to be saved now? But maybe we're saying Vayishkor Noach because in the future, 10 generations later, there's going to be an Avram Avinu who's going to call out to the world, B'Shem Hashem. Maybe B'Shut that future, and that future is already present now in Noach's existence in his din currently. And that can save Noach in his din currently. The second proof text, it talks about when Paro died and Bnei Yisrael called out to Hashem. V'nema v'yishma Elokim es nakasam. But what are we talking about? Klal Yisrael at that time were on the 49th level of Tuma. Did they deserve to be saved? But they have a potential in a number of weeks to be standing at a Har Sinai. And that future potential can save them in din currently. So that might be a theme of Zichronos in terms of, yes, God, Zichronos is that God doesn't forget. God is above time and can take the future and help us in the present. The last thing I wanted to talk about was the Kikayon.
I think that's the analogy of the Kikayon.
Okay,
the whole problem is, Emmet, there's no... I can't live in this kind of world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, listen, if you're going to be so black and white, so
excellent,
stark,
excellent. This
so
is exactly
look,
right.
The Kikayon yesterday, it's going to die. Do you mean?
I would say even better. If he says actions need consequences, every A leads to a B,
exactly.
That means a B needs to have an A preceding it. This Kikayon had, you didn't plant it, you didn't see it, you didn't water it, it just exists now. It really, in your worldview of Emmet, that Kikayon should not exist.
Hashem says by the Malachim,
okay,
in Yam Suf.
Okay.
Right, you weren't here when I created the world.
Refresh. You weren't here
Hashem
when I created.
We're complaining.
Oh, sing it. But why should they? Why
you weren't here when I created the world? What do you know?
Right. So that I thought was some ideas. In the last source, I mean, it just says the Yalkut. Actually, we left. We don't. What did Yonah change his mind? Did he accept this new idea? He had a certain pristine idea of Emet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maybe trying to show him that there's another idea of Emet above time that can maybe help a person, you know, and maybe can look at the past in a new light, because it can be the substrate for growth and movement towards Hashem, which is a good value in and of itself. So the Yalkut wants to put words in Yonah's mouth and says and say yes. Miyad nafal Yonah apana v'amar ribono shalom yodeh ani shechatati lifanecha machola avoni shebarachti. I'm sorry that I ran away. Liam chelo yedati koach v'rotecha. And May all you know, our potentials be fulfilled, and you know, progress, and have tshuva and yes, towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Just 2 minutes.
This being after Yonah.
Yeah.
Oh. The afternoon of Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
10 days earlier, Shachar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ishmael now is broken.
Right.
It's a progress we go through over the 10 days.
Right. So,
David Hirschfield is suffering a very serious cancer, so you can say Hadash Shabbanan and two to heal him.
Absolutely.
David Hirschfield, Dabba 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 Dabba